I've looked forward to this. I've read a lot in it, and I hope that you'll read in it and familiarize yourself with it so that you'll know where we're at when we're preaching. But let me tell you this. There's several reasons for studying a book in the Bible, for just taking the Scriptures and going through a book at a time. First of all, it allows us to search the Scriptures systematically to see how they flow together. They're not disjointed. They're not disconnected. That the Scriptures has a beginning, a middle, and an end. That they all flow, just like a river flowing. And when you see the connection, and when you see where the chapters will start, or the paragraphs will start, and the subject will change, you'll see why it changed, and who it is talking, and who they're talking about, and why they say what they say. So it allows us to search the Scriptures systematically, verse by verse. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And secondly, a good reason for studying a book in the Bible is we have to deal with the Scriptures as we come to them. We have to deal with them where they're at. Stay in the context of them. And this keeps us, when we do this, this keeps us from getting trapped into one system of interpretation. You see, forcing our interpretation on a particular passage of Scripture when you have to deal with it where it's at. You can't divorce it from its context. And see, what we have to do, instead of making the Scripture fit our view and imposing our interpretation on it, our particular doctrinal system on it, we have to make our view and our thoughts conform to the Scripture. Now, I suppose one reason why I like to study Scripture. And I'll give you a perfect illustration of that. I know that where this, they call this pastor. And he went there and began to preach. And he was very faithful to deal with the Scriptures as he came to them. Deal with where they're at. Where he's preaching from, that's what he dealt with. Well, after three or four months of that, the other man says, you know, our former pastor, no matter where he is at, this is what he said. He said, no matter what verse of Scripture he started, where he started at, he always got to point one, point two, point three, point four. Always, no matter where he started, he got to that. Well, he said, but that wasn't in what I was dealing with. He said, that don't make any difference. That's what we want to hear. You see, because that's what they'd been taught. They had their system. And just recently, the same preacher that had trained them into this system, I've listened to him several times, and sure enough, wherever he's at, he gets to right to those, just a little while, he goes right to those points. Goes right to saying the same thing over and over and over again. And Bruce Crabtree asked a man this other day, said, have you been listening to these tapes? He said, yeah, I have. Said, what sticks out to him? He began to name the points. You see, no matter where he goes, he imposes his views on those Scriptures. He makes them say what he wants them to say. But when you're true to the Scripture, if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with your hearers, you're going to deal with what the Bible says. We're not going to impose our views. I believe in God's absolute sovereignty. I believe in the utter and absolute sinfulness of man. And the power of God has to teach us and instruct us. But I'm not going to take my views and impose them on a particular verse of Scripture. I'm going to pray that God would cause the Scriptures to... You know, it's in His Word and tried them. And that's why we search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures whether these things be so or not. And thirdly, you see, it allows us to see how different men... Now, there's three synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they all basically say the same things. And these men, with their different personalities, are telling the story, the history of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. His coming. And yet, you see how these different men, with all these different personalities, wrote the same things but didn't tell it all exactly the same. Now, that's a mystery, ain't it? But yet, it's all the same thing. You read the account of something that Mark said and go over and read what Luke said about it, and he'll say it altogether different. Because that was his view. When you're hearing me preach tonight, every one of you, if you ask what was said, every one of you would say something different about what I said. One thing would stick out to you where it wouldn't stick out to this person here. One would understand this and this, and one would miss that other thing. And that's exactly the way these men done. God did not throw their personalities away and just take their hand and start writing. though they were verbally inspired, yet God used their personalities, and their personalities came through in their writings.
Yes.
And I love that about it. So let's start here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to read the first four verses and just make a few comments as we go through them. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. First of all, the author of this gospel is Luke. Now, Luke was not one of the 12 apostles. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples. And he authored this gospel, and he also wrote the book of Acts. You can look at that yourself in First Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and he says, the former treatise which I wrote unto thee, O most excellent Theophilus, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote the history of the church. And something you'll notice about him, he never names himself. He never mentions his own name. Or he only uses the first person singular one time in all of his writings, in all of his writings here, and also in the writings of Acts. And you know, most, if it had been us writing a book, we'd have me and I in it all more than you could ever imagine. But he only used the first person singular one time, and that was in verse 3. It seemed good to me also. Now, that's one way you can know this is divinely inspired. The men are taken out of the way, and the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth. The men never put themselves forward. They never. That's why our Lord Himself said He never cried, caused His voice to be heard in the street. You see, He never mentioned Himself. But He is mentioned by name in three places in the Scriptures. In Colossians 4:14, Paul said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, they greet you. See, he was a doctor. He was a physician. He was a healer. And he was a trained doctor. And yet, he fell so in love with Christ and the gospel that he spent his life traveling with the Apostle Paul and stayed with him right till both times he was in prison, went with him everywhere he went, wrote down the acts that he performed, and he called him Luke, the beloved physician. And then, when he was in prison, right before he died, right before he was executed, he said, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Luke stayed with him to the bitter end. And then, in Philemon, verse 24, he says, Lucas, my fellow laborer, my fellow laborer. So Luke was a man beloved, a man taught of God, a man that knew, very educated man, and yet that education never hindered him or helped him. He had to be taught of the Lord just like everybody else. And then when you find in the book of Acts, when he would say we, you find that word we in there, that's him including himself, wherever he traveled with the apostle, with Paul or Silas or whatever. And stayed with him while he's in prison. And then look who he addresses his gospel to. Down there in verse 3, the last part of verse 3. I write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, I don't know who Theophilus is, and nobody else knew who he was. They assumed that he was a Roman, and that he was a Gentile, and that... So he addressed his gospel to the Gentiles, more to the Gentiles than anybody else. But his name means this. Theophilus, his name means this. Lover of God. Oh, thou most excellent lover of God. I'm going to set the gospel down in order for you. So you can see it, so you can read it, so you can understand it, so you can enjoy it for yourself. And that's what he does. Oh, thou lover of God. And another thing about his gospel is this. His gospel emphasizes the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where John talked about the deity, the godness, the Godhead, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it wasn't a synoptic gospel. It's set apart all on its own. It started out with the eternality of God. Right off the bat. But Luke's gospel emphasizes the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His being the divine man, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary. He emphasizes Him as our high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And let me tell you some other things about the Gospel of Luke. Now, there's many things recorded in Luke's Gospel that's not recorded in the other Gospels. Many precious things. Things that we've looked at and preached and dealt with many times over the years. First of all, there's the history of Zacharias and Elizabeth here. It opens up about Zacharias and Elizabeth. None of the other Gospels mention that. It talks about how John the Baptist was conceived. And why he was conceived. And the message concerning his conception. And what he would do. And how that God struck him dumb for his unbelief. And that was, and how Elizabeth went off to herself for 5 months. The history of Zechariah and Elizabeth. That no place else in the Bible is that mentioned. And then, no place else in the Scriptures is it amidst the angel's announcements to the Virgin Mary that she's going to conceive a son. The angel Gabriel came forth from the same one that told about Zacharias. He came to Mary 6 months later.
That's right.
It said, announced to her. Announced to her. Hey, look there in verse 26 to show you. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said, "Hail you highly graced, graciously accepted, much graced. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art you among women." So this is the place where the announcement's made. Where the Gabriel came and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to her. In fact, the whole first two chapters of Luke is nowhere else in the other Gospels at all. And then there's the conversion of Zacchaeus. It's no place else in the Scriptures, but in this Zacchaeus up the tree, man of little stature, out of curiosity climbed the tree to see the Lord Jesus and talked about his conversion. And then the only place else, not only that, but this other miraculous conversion, the thief on the cross. The only gospel that's mentioned, the thief on the cross. That today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And there's something else mentioned in this that's not no place else. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican, where they both went up to the temple to pray at the same time. That's not in the other gospels. And there's the rich man, where it talks about the rich man being in hell. That's not in the other Gospels. And about how that he prayed that Lazarus, that man he ignored, that man that he rode by day after day after day, who sat there in his poverty and his sickness and his putridness and ignored him. And he said, "Would you let Lazarus just dip his finger in water and come and just drop a water on my parched tongue?" And oh, the parable of the prodigal son, or the story of the prodigal son. It's no place else but in the book of Luke. Not only the prodigal son, but the lost sheep, the lost coin, all of them. And oh my, and then there's that walk to Emmaus. Those two disciples with that 7 mile walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you like to walk 7 miles with the Lord Jesus talking to him? And they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him until he made himself known to them. Oh, no place else in the Scriptures is it mentioned like it is in here. And all Bible readers, all believers are thankful for these precious Scriptures and the truths that's contained in them. We'll see several things like the 13 that the Tower of Siloam fell, and then Pilate mingled their sacrifices with the blood. And our Lord said, "You think they were worse sinners above all the sinners?" He said, "I tell you, nay, except you repent." That's only in the Luke's Gospel. And oh, we love the truths that's contained in these things. But now let me ask this question and try to answer. What is a gospel? We got the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John. What is a gospel? Well, here in these first four verses, Luke explains why he wrote his gospel and how he came to write his gospel. He explains what he's doing. You see, a gospel is a certain type of writing. Ain't that what he says in verse 1? For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order. You see, that's a particular type. They've taken in hand to set forth in order. Not haphazardly. They start in the middle and go back to the front. Didn't start at the back and go back to the front and go to the middle to the back. No, no. They had a starting place. And the starting place was here. And they go all the way from the beginning to the end. And there's a whole. It's all connected. You've got to follow it from the beginning all the way to the end. And so a gospel is a certain time of writing. And these three synoptic gospels, and they all contain so many of the same things, but thank God for them. They tell us the history of our Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us of His life, of His coming. They tell us of His living, how He lived in this world. The things that He went through while He was in this world. Tell us about so many things of His personality and so many things that He did and how He was treated and how He treated men. It tells of His dying. It tells of His ascending back to glory even. So a gospel is a certain type of writing. It's got good news in it. And a gospel is an account of something. It's an account of something. A declaration. Ain't that what he said? A declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. It's telling you, give an account of something. Things, declaration of things most surely believed among us. I'm going to declare some things that I believe, other believers believe. And if you believe them, you'll be a believer. Oh, he said it's a declaration. It's an account of something. This gospel, Luke's gospel, is an account of our Lord's person. First of all, it starts out with the announcement of His birth. An account of our Lord's person. Told many things are said about His person all the way through this. And then there's so much about His life. What He did in His life. What kind of life He lived. And then also of the times in which He lived. Oh, the times in which He lived. And how many... You know, religion is awful. Religion is despicable. Mary and I was talking on the way to church. That's why I love our country. Thank God that our church and state is separate in this country. Because when Oliver Cromwell, just go down through history, whenever church and state was mingled together, whoever was in power slaughtered the other people, the opposing party. When Oliver Cromwell took over the throne, he slew all the royalists. And if you didn't agree with him, he was the Puritan, started out Puritans. If you didn't agree with him, if you was a Catholic, you was a gone Jesse. He gonna kill you. And then when the Catholics got back in power through Mary, next thing you know, all the Puritans start getting slaughtered. And then when the Puritans come to America, they got so good that if you sin, you think they had compassion on you and had mercy on you? No, they put you in the public stocks. And they spat on you. And they put scarlet letters on your head if you committed adultery, or they would ridicule you, whatever you done. Did they know anything about mercy and compassion? I know one thing they didn't know nothing about. They didn't know nothing about human depravity.
No.
And if you don't know that, you don't know the gospel. And that's why he says we're going to give an account here of the time. And know the times in which our Savior lived. Pharisees were in the ascendancy. And it was religion that manipulated and pushed the politicians along with the religious leaders of their day to crucify the Son of God. Thank God, every time you hear somebody say they took Christ out of Christmas, say, he don't know nothing. Every time somebody says, I wish they'd put the Ten Commandments in the courthouses, they don't know nothing. I love it just the way it is, because I can meet here and I can preach the gospel without fear of anybody coming to get me. If a bunch of Calvinists took over the government, the free willers, they'd slaughter them like everyone else. If the free willers got in, they'd close every Calvinistic church down that they could get their hands on. Because that's human nature. Who's ever in power is going to oppress the ones who don't have the power. And oh my, this gospel is an account of things, a declaration of the things we most surely believe. And so read it from beginning to end. Read the gospel from beginning to end. It's a connected account of our Lord's human life. It begins in Jerusalem, and it ends in Jerusalem. It begins with Christ in Jerusalem, and ends with Him in Jerusalem. And then thirdly, a gospel not only is an account of something, a gospel is about things that have been fulfilled. Not something that's going to happen, something that's already happened.
Amen.
Ain't that what he says? It's a declaration of those things.
Yeah.
Things that's already took place. Things that's been fulfilled. It's a declaration of things. And oh my beloved, it's the telling of a purpose. It's the telling of a plan that's been carried out in time.
Yes, sir.
Huh? When the Lord appeared to Zacharias through Gabriel, he was just fulfilling his Old Testament purpose. He had promised some things in the Old Testament. And when the angel came to Mary, he was just fulfilling a promise that he had made. And this has got to be carried out in time. So as we read the gospel, we're just seeing what God purposed from all eternity to be being carried out in time. Things that's already fulfilled. We can't. That's, oh, Scott Richardson said it this way. Preaching is just telling back what God has said. And that's what preaching is, just telling people what God's already said. We can't come up with anything new. And that's what we're doing. We're telling what's already been. Tell them what's already happened. We're declaring things, those things that's happened. And this purpose that God has carried out in time, is the purpose is God's purpose. It was promised in the Old Testament Scriptures. And it's centered. It was centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blessed Son. And that's why they wrote all these accounts of Him. In fact, they said in one place, I suppose, that the world, if all things were written that He had done, I suppose that the world could not contain the books. See, these are just a few of the things He done. Just a few. Just a few. And oh, it starts, this gospel, that's why it's centered in the Lord Jesus. It starts with the announcement of His birth. And it goes all the way to His death. And look over here in chapter 24. And all the way to His return in glory. So it starts out with the announcement of His birth. His birth. Where He was born. How He was born. Where He was laid. Then it goes to His crucifixion. And then His ascension all the way back to glory. In Luke 24 and verse 50. As He led them out as far as to Bethany. Now see, when I see Bethany, I think of Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. It's all from Bethany. That's right. Our Lord went through Bethany. Yes, there's a wonderful place. He loved the people in Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And Luke was there because he's told about it in Acts chapter 1. And they worshipped Him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
Yeah.
And were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. They get to see God, not only get to see Him crucified, but they got to see Him rise all the way to glory, go all the way back to glory. So you see this gospel. I'll read it from beginning to end. So the gospel is a declaration of things. Things that's been fulfilled. And a gospel is based on first-hand reports of those who knew our Lord right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. Look in verse 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the Word. See, the Gospels is people who knew the Lord firsthand, who actually knew Him and see Him and heard Him, and wrote down the things that they saw and the things that they heard. They watched Him. They said they were eyewitnesses. Can you imagine how carefully they watched the Lord Jesus? They'd hear Him pray one time and they'd say, Lord, teach us to pray. They'd watch Him cast out devils and say, Lord, why can't we cast out a devil? And oh my, so many questions were asked him. They watched him. They were eyewitnesses of him. Eyewitnesses. They walked with him. They talked with him. Those two men on the Emmaus Road, they walked with him. They were eyewitnesses of our Lord's resurrection. They were eyewitnesses of his life and thought it was all over. And then all of a sudden they walk 7 miles with him. He sits down to eat and he gives thanks. And immediately they realize it's the Lord. He opened their hearts to see him. Oh my. They saw that. So they could write that down and say, this is a true account. This is something I saw with my own eyes. That's why Paul says, you know, I testify that that which I've seen and heard with my own ears. When that Gadarean maniac wanted to follow the Lord Jesus, he said, you just go home and tell what great things the Lord had done for you. Oh, could he have sat down and wrote out just exactly what happened. And that's what happened. These were men or eyewitnesses. And they listened. It says they most surely believed among us. They listened to what he had to say. Oh, and then they were delivered unto us. They brought them to us, give them to us, told us about them. So the writers of the Gospels was very careful. They took pains to be accurate to the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 3. Where he says here, you know, to write unto thee, it's good, seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order. I want things done right. I want it done. He took great pains to make sure that he started at the right place. Everything's in order. No confusion. No doubt. No question marks. And I tell you what, all you know... You know where more question marks put on the Word of God than any place else? In these seminaries. You just watch the History Channel. You watch Discovery where they talk about the Scriptures and you see all them seminary professors and every single one of them put question mark after question mark after question mark on the Scriptures. Was this really real? Searching for the real Jesus. Well, you'll search for Him all your life. You won't find Him. I tell you what, but if you're one of His sheep, He'll find you. Yeah, they, you know, searching for the real Jesus, most places wouldn't know Him, Dirk, if He walked down the aisle. They wouldn't know Him. And if He came, men would do exactly what they did to Him the first time. Men's hearts haven't changed. And oh my, that's why he said, I want to write. He took pains. I want you to. And that's why we can cherish this blessed book. Because it tells us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us of Him. And then a gospel is written. And I love this. A gospel is written that sinners, like ourselves, can have a well-grounded faith in God who sent His Son to save us. Ain't that what he says there in the last verse? That thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. Oh my, we can be certain. Certain. Of all this gospel written that sinners like ourselves can have a well-grounded faith in God who sent His Son to save us. My, my. You see, there's facts. The things we're going to read is facts concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know the certainty. I had perfect understanding from the beginning. I knew from the very beginning who He was. When He told me, when they instructed me in it, I believed Him. I had this mature understanding. And oh, beloved, the things are written are real life facts about Christ, not suppositions,
right.
Not theory. Not conjecture, not suggestions, not philosophy, facts. Know the certainty of these things. We can know the certainty of them.
Amen.
We believe, if you tear down one verse of Scripture, you just destroyed all of it. Ain't that right? And oh my. We was talking about this the other day. You know, even after the men had translated the King James Bible into English from the Greek and the Hebrew and the Arabic. Some men who thought they knew more than anybody else, would ask them, well, why did you put this word here? And the better word, this word here would have been better. And they would sit down and say, yes, we tried that word. And we tried another word. And we tried another word. But they wouldn't work. And they'd give them 25 or 30 reasons why they used the word to you. And so, you see, we can be certain. And this, you know, either God's word's true, or all of it's true, or none of it's true. And so when we pick up the book of Luke, we're not going to read what Luke had to say, though it is Luke's words, and it is Luke's putting it in order for us. But it's God the Holy Spirit speaking, using Luke to tell us about His blessed Son. And this facts about our Lord's life, facts about the things He did, facts about the things He said, facts about His death and what, how it was accomplished and what it did accomplish, facts about His resurrection, facts about His ascension. There is a man in glory, and that's why He says that thou mightest know the certainty of these things, the certainty of them. And beloved, as we read this gospel, and as we read the Gospels, as we read the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, it reveals to our minds the things concerning our Lord Jesus. It'll confront our minds with Him. It'll confront our heart with the true things of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I want to be. I want my mind and my heart. I want my head instructed and my heart taught. I want my understanding enlightened, and I want my affections warmed. I want to know about Him, and that's what this is about. It's to tell us about Him. And oh, as we'll read it, and we'll have these things taught to our mind and our hearts, revealed to our hearts, it'll increase our knowledge of Him. And oh my, that's what we want, ain't it? And hopefully, by the grace of God, we'll be like those on the Emmaus Road. As we go through it, did not our hearts burn within us? Huh? All right. Oh, so we're going to deal with these things that you might know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. Our blessed, blessed Savior, thank You for meeting with us tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement. And oh Lord, as we open this blessed book to start, we ask that You be our guide, to be our teacher, be our instructor. And oh Lord, help us to always understand that the key to Your Scriptures, the key that unlocks all the mysteries, the key that unlocks the doors, is Your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us stay true to Him, the things concerning Him, and help us never stray. Lord, we need You, and we acknowledge that need. Please don't leave us to our own understanding. Help us not to get high-minded in our doctrine. Help us not to impose our views on a particular verse of Scripture, but to face it honestly and let it speak to us and tell us what it says. Father, bless these dear saints. Encourage them and hold them up. And again, we pray for those that we mentioned before, knowing, dear Lord Jesus, that Your grace is sufficient and Your mercies are abundant. And we ask that You give them in Christ's name. Amen.